Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, on a chilly Monday evening. Mondays are tough, they are. But yeah, it's been a busy day here, been a chilly day here too. You know, we kind of got our first kind of taste of pre-spring, and now we're right back to all of this. And, you know, probably playing a little bit of havoc on our sinuses too, as the air gets a little bit drier. But looks like it's going to, you know, kind of move out of the area middle of the week, I guess, when that front rolls in on Thursday. But, high today at 44, tomorrow 58. We've got a ball game tomorrow, too. We'll preview that later in the show. And then Thursday, we hit the road to Arlington, Texas. So we're going to record your Friday show on Thursday morning. And I'm going to hit the road. And so you'll have, you know, a couple days you can kind of keep up with all that stuff. But, eager to go. Bulldogs, of course, 8-0 now, ranked fourth in the country. We haven't moved up or down, and that's fine. The only poll that counts is the last one, and we have a tournament that determines that. There's only one trophy that's going to be, you know, awarded for the last team to win. So we hope that's us. But wrapping up a 9-game homestand tomorrow night against Austin Peay, which is probably a better team than you think. You remember 2 years ago they came in here and I guess it was 23, wasn't it? Or was it 24? I don't remember. Anyway, they 24. They came in here, took a pair from us, walked us off in many respects. Came back and won those games late. Got to avoid that. Spoke with Coach Fanning earlier today. You can read that if you're a Jeans Page VIP subscriber. Of course, Roland Fanning, the head coach of Austin Peay. Just kind of say, Coach, tell me a little bit about the Govs. You know, tell me what's going on up there in Stashville. You know, it looks like you guys are very reliant on the portal. Take me through your recruiting philosophy. You know, what do you think about Mississippi State? You've only played 10 position players that have had official at bats. If you settled a lineup, who are you going to pitch? You know, all that kind of stuff. And so you get it first if you're a subscriber to Gene's Page. You certainly should be. And let's just kind of jump on into it, okay? Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love them. They love us. It is a incredible love affair that we have with each of those eatwithus.com restaurants. If you've got a college student up here, they don't have to be a student. You may have a faculty member or a friend, somebody that lives in the eatwithus.com orbit. Maybe consider buying them a gift card. Let them have a night out on you. What a great idea, Steve. Yes, it is. And if you got a college student up here, I can assure you they could use a warm meal to be able to put their feet under the table. And maybe it's date night, maybe it's friends night, I don't know. But it's a nice gesture to be able to buy them something, allow them to go out and have a nice meal on you. You deserve to have a nice meal too. So make sure that Bulldog Burger Company is in your immediate plans. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Trust the science, they tell us. Well, that's in writing, so we can trust it. It's true. It's on the menu. Started right here on this show, made its way to the menu. Now, when we write these things down, they become true. It's true. Find your own favorites. I saw on Instagram earlier today, it said that the Lauren is calling my name. And I think maybe that's true. So I may have to enjoy a Lauren before I leave Stark Vegas for Texas. So they got what, they got things that'll cure what ails you. So whatever you're craving, you can get that satisfied at Bulldog Burger Company. Bulldog Burger Company. The place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay, let's jump into the weekend. Again, we're going to be a little more abbreviated in our recaps here. But, it starts out well enough on Friday, I guess. You know, they come up there and they get one in the first, and it was just one of those crazy things. Like, we have an error at short, and that we've had a couple of those this weekend. That's got to get better. And next thing you know, LT Cockrell, who I thought had a really good weekend against us, comes through with a two-out base knock and drive in the run to make it a 1-0 ball game, but it didn't last long. State right back to work in the bottom of one. And their Friday starter, I told you guys about their little pod rotation thing. He's probably the weakest of their weekend starters. And State goes right to work, right? Right to work. Get a couple guys on, and next thing you know, Fry doubles down the first baseline, pulls that ball inside the bag. Ace Reese comes around to score, and then Ryder Woodson singles to left on an 0-2 count. Gets down 0-2, fouls the ball back, and then rips one into left, and two runs score. So it's 3-1, and really, to be honest with you, that's the game. From there, we just kind of tack on and kind of manage this thing, right? And that's an important aspect of it. When you get leads, you got to extend. We had trouble with that the last couple years. You know, we come up there in the second, you know, we give a leadoff walk, then we get, you know, we strike out the side. Ryan McPherson was outstanding. And then his offense kind of comes through for him, right? You get a walk, you get a double to left center, and then it's a walk to load the bases. And you got to cash in, and you got Ace Reese up there. Chances are you're going to cash in. Well, he singles, drives in the run, and makes it 4-1. They walk Vitus Valenkis, who had a really big midweek for us, forces in another run. And, you know, so it's a 5-1 ball game after two. And, again, the way Ryan was dealing, it's just kind of how it felt like Church was already out. They do come through again in the top of third, and it's LT Cockrell again with two outs. Guy's got a little clutch. I thought he did a good job behind the plate, too, kind of blocking up, threw some Bulldogs out. But he comes in with a two-out double to make it a 5-2 ball game. And then State answers right back. State does what good teams do. You have to answer and continue to kind of get separation in the ball game. And it's Andrew Raymond grounding out the short to drive in Teal. And it's so kind of manufactured this run. Teal singles, still second, goes third on a wild pitch, and then scores on a ground out. Right? So there's that run back. Makes it 6-2, but State's not done there. Get a single and a walk. Another single. Drives in Bryce Chance. It's a 7-2 ball game. And again, the game is already over. And it's third inning. Because you know as well as I do, the way McPherson's dealing and the way that we've kind of held the bullpen together, it's going to be tough to overcome a 5-run deficit at Duty Noble Field, especially for a non-conference opponent, especially one so offensively challenged as the Delaware Fighting Blue Hens. Well, they go 1-2-3 in the fourth, but State, not done. We get a guy on base, we get a flyout, and then we get gunned down stealing, and our base running still has some work to be done. But then Teal, with two outs, gets a walk. Raymond, again, singles to right. He's kind of making a case to be your everyday catcher. And then Bryce Chance. There's nobody on the team outside of maybe Ace Reese that I want at the plate with two outs and runners in scoring position and Bryce Chance. He has built a career on two-out RBIs. And I'll tell you why. It's because Bryce doesn't try to do too much. There's sometimes he'll come up there, you know, and it's just kind of a routine fly ball with two outs. But, man, it's like when runners are on base, Bryce just kind of locks in. It's like, okay, I just need a line drive back up the middle here, right? Let me just work the middle of the field, not try to do too much. And that's what he's done. Again, he's built a career on coming through. There's some clutch gene there. 1-2-3 in the fifth for them. And, you know, we threaten a little bit. We get a couple of guys on here in the fifth and can't get them around. And they get off a leadoff single in the sixth, get nothing from it. State gets a leadoff double from Ryder Woodson, takes third on a pass ball, and then routine sack fly. Aiden Teal just kind of doing a job there to get that run home. That makes it 9-2. Nothing else going for State there in the sixth. In the seventh, again, you're just kind of working through this. McPherson's done. And we bring in Gleason, who has been outstanding for State. And that's a guy that we didn't talk much about in the preseason. He's been one of the better relievers for us through eight games. And he gets a 1-2-3 inning there in the seventh. State goes 1-2-3 in the bottom of seven. In the eighth, again, Gleason just kind of continuing to deal here. And being rather efficient, right? Gets the early flyout. And then their best hitter, Evan Bolden, who really didn't have a good weekend. He had a couple of CNI singles. He gets down 3-0 and then ends up popping up at a shortstop on a four count. And bottom eight, State goes 1-2-3. And then there in the ninth, we bring in bringing Miller, Maddox Miller, another one of our young guys, really kind of showing out a little bit. What do you know? He gets Cockrell to strike out swinging and then gets Wolf and wins it. That's your ballgame. So State wins the first one, 9-2, and it really never felt like we were in trouble in this ballgame. Kind of looking inside the numbers here real quick. Ace Reese, 3-for-5 with a couple of RBI. That's your hitting hero. But Bryce Chance also 3-for-3. And, again, big RBI when we needed it. Because you just need to be able to extend games late. You want to take people's will to win away. Everybody else is trying to get a hold. You're trying to prevent that. And, again, Brady Bloom, Friday night starter for them this week, gives up 5 runs on 5 hits in 1 inning. And if you read our preview piece on him, it's pretty much what he did last week against Elon. But Ryan McPherson, a career game for him, 92 pitches thrown, which is a career high, 11 strikeouts, a career high, 2 runs on 4 hits, only one of them earned. Of course, we had that error on the shortstop in the first inning. That run ends up being unearned. But 11 punchouts against 1 walk and a hit by pitch. Nice job from Ryan. And I thought he was good last week. I thought he was great this week. And then Jack Gleason, we just talked about that. 2 innings pitch, no hits, no runs, 3 strikeouts, no walks, no base runners allowed. Man, you love that. And then Maddox Miller goes out there and strikes out 2 in his 1 inning of work. So nice opening to the weekend for the Bulldogs. We get to game 2. I was a little bit worried. I wasn't worried about losing, but I thought this may be one of those uncomfortable, awkward type games because they had a really good starter, their best starter, going in game 2. Well, it didn't take State long to kind of get things going here, and you love to be able to strike early. And there was a lot of craziness early in this ballgame, a lot of challenges in this ballgame. We're not going to recount all that. But they get a leadoff single and then can't do anything with it because we pick them off. Great job not only by Thomas Valenkis, but Reed Stallman with the heavy tag over there. I'm a firm believer in the hard tag at first. And I don't understand why Salminio went in standing up on back-to-back, right, attempts. The first time they nearly get you, you got to go sliding head first, right? You got to get back. Well, he did, and he didn't learn from it, and he's out. Teal with an opening walk, and then Reese doubles down the line to chase in Teal. And Bulldogs off and running now in the first, 1-0. And top of second, they kind of get some things going here. You give up 3 hits in an inning, you typically give up runs. Well, we didn't. They got bases loaded, nobody out. And then Valenkis just kind of bows his back here and strikes out the side. You always think that first out, when there's bases loaded, nobody out, you got to get a non-productive out, whether it's a pop-up, tap back to the pitcher, you know, strike out, something that doesn't allow the runners to advance. Well, he gets that and then some. Strikes out the side, and he was absolutely jacked. State gets a leadoff double in the second. And then we end up sending the runner and getting him thrown out at home. It was a mistake. I'm a firm believer in making him make a play. But on a day when you feel like runs may be at a premium, I think you just got to let, hey, runners at second and third, nobody out. I'll take those odds every day. Thought we made a mistake there. Top of third, we give up a leadoff walk, but we erase it with a double play. Nice work there. Get to the third, and not much going for State. Sully gets on and steals a bag here. Gets on an error and then steals a bag. But we can't get him in. They go 1-2-3 there in the fourth. Bottom of 4. Leadoff walk for State. And then Jacob Parker, the freshman phenom from Purvis, Mississippi, hits an absolute laser into the right field. 2-run shot. Makes it 3-1. We got him in postgame. He was great. Top of 5, we pitch around a 1-out walk here, and the game's just kind of holding in place for us, right? You'd like to be able to extend a little bit more in the middle innings. Well, it's a good thing we do here in the fifth. So with 2 outs in the fifth, Stallman homers. That makes it 4-0. Well, then they walk Raymond, and then Ryder Woodson comes through with a double to left. Raymond scores. So you tack on 2, and again, it's getting late early, right? 5-0 ball game going to the sixth. 2-out single for them. Infield hit. And that's the thing, too. I think we allowed 5 hits that day. 3 of them were on the infield. I mean, and when you throw sinkers, it's going to happen. All right, bottom of the sixth, that gets a leadoff single. And we get the bunt down to advance the runner. They walk Reese intentionally. And then Noah Sullivan apparently took that personally and hits a three-run bomb. It is 8-0 now. The party has begun in earnest. That's all that happens for State there in the bottom of six. But you kind of get the sense this thing may be over before the scheduled 9 innings. They get Harry Carr swinging, and then Wensit walks, and then we erase it on double play. 5-4-3 double play there to go to bottom of seven. State can't extend there, but in the top of eight, we're just kind of dealing through this thing again. Leadoff single, one out single, and we get the next two guys, including Cockrell. And he had been really dangerous most of the weekend with two outs and runners on. We get it done there. And in the bottom of the eight, Peter Michon pinch hits and gets on a fielding error. And then Blake Beavis pinch hits for Stallman and hits a two-run jack. That walks it off 10-0. Series secured. And we're feeling pretty good about life, especially since we've got their best starter now out of the way. Looking back at the numbers here, your offensive heroes here, Ryder Woodson, Garrick Fry, Jacob Parker, Bryce Chance, all with two hits. We had 13 hits on the day, which was our fifth consecutive game with double-digit hits. And it's our final one because we had that streak snapped on Sunday. But Doug Morose, again, their best starter. Well, the Bulldogs touching for 5 runs on 6 hits, 4 walks against 3 strikeouts. And I see some people out there saying, well, they helped us with the walks. Guys, that's the game of baseball. I mean, I'm not trying to break any news here. That's the game of baseball. When you walk people, you lose. Because eventually somebody gets a hit. It's not like they sat up there and walked us 27 times and lost 9-0. That's not how it works. But that's baseball. You got to throw strikes in the game of baseball. You don't swing at bad pitches in the game of baseball. You let them walk you when they want to walk you. That's baseball. Thomas Valenkis, again, outstanding for State. In two outings now, he is not allowed a run. He goes 6 innings, allows 5 hits, 7 runs, 2 walks. And again, that second inning was rough. It was. And then he refuses to yield. So he gives up 5 hits in the ballgame. 3 of them are in that inning, and then nobody scores. And then Brendan Sweeney comes in, who's been really good in the times that he's pitched. He goes 2 innings and 1 hit, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. Very efficient, though, in what he did. And happy to have him just kind of close that thing out. So the series is now secured, and we go into Sunday looking for the sweep. I honestly thought we would have. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Sometimes it can feel like everybody else has it all together when it comes to their love lives. Whether you're married, dating, or single, the truth is most of us are still figuring it out as we go. No matter where you are in your own romantic journey, therapy can help you find your way, help you determine what you want, what feels heavy, and how maybe you could take some of the pressure off yourself. We get it. February is full of flowers, candy, candlelight dinners, stuffed animals, and of course, lots of talk about relationships and dating. You may feel left out. And no matter where you are, whether you're married, dating, or single, or just focusing on yourself, you're right on time. Therapy can help you find your way and see more clearly where you want to be. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you aren't happy with your match, switch. You can find a different therapist at any time from our tailored recommendations. BetterHelp. Hit the baseball better. However, the temperature drops about 25, 30 degrees. That's the playing temperature. And there's all this moving around with the game time. Originally scheduled to play at 1. We move it up to 11, then back to 1. And that changes a little bit too. But man, that 17-mile-per-hour wind, and O'Connor said it best, nothing plays more havoc at a baseball game than wind. And you saw it. We handled it better than Delaware did. They had some balls to the center fielder that just dropped. A couple he lost in the sun. It's a tough gig, man. It is. But, Charlie Foster comes out here in game 3. Remember last week, first inning wasn't very good for him. This time it's different. He He gets a couple strikeouts, and there's an infield hit. And then we don't look at the – this is on Charlie, right? And Charlie knows better. And he kind of adjusted, and I thought it distracted him a little bit. But gives up a couple of stolen bases, but he gets Cockrell to go down swinging. So he strikes out the side there in the first. Nothing going for the Bulldogs. And then in the second here, Charlie had some adversity. And, you know, defense has got to make plays behind him. But as a pitcher, you've got to overcome that. So he gets a strikeout look and a ground out the second. It looks like we're going to get out of it easy because Harry Carr on the first pitch hits a relatively routine ground ball to short, and Woodson just whiffs on it. And then Charlie kind of had some issues. There's a walk. Parker goes out. We walk another to load the bases. And all this is happening when two are out. And again, on the pitching side, you got two outs and you roll up a ground ball to your shortstop, it should be an out. But when it's not, you got to buckle back in. You got to lock in. And so, what do you know? Salmeneo singles back up the middle, drives in two runs. And then we go out and, catcher goes out there. We kind of get things settled down. We get a strikeout swinging. Bottom of second, State gets a leadoff single. We can't do anything with it. And then top of third, Charlie gives up back-to-back singles to the two best hitters on the team, Bolden and Cockrell. So we bring in Duke Stone, who has been great for State. And with two men on, he, like Tomas Valenkas, refuses to yield. Strikeout swinging, gives up a single there. And then we get a double play to get out of it. So no runs allowed. You inherit two runners. Nobody touches home. But State's still trailing in this ball game as we go to the bottom of third. We get a leadoff walk there and then a single. So now you feel like something's cooking here. And then Bryce, a near-perfect bunt. And the fact that we didn't draw a throw to any base just kind of proves the quality of this bunt. And that's what, number one, Bryce is not going to win a gold medal, but Bryce is pretty fleet of foot. When he gets a bunt down and is able to deaden it where it's too far for the catcher to kind of scurry out past the circle and make a play and it's not far enough to the pitcher, near-perfect bunt. Now the bases are loaded, nobody out. We feel confident we're going to score here. They make a pitching change, bring in Ryan Pugh. And give this pitcher some credit, man. This guy found a way to get the ball on the ground and getting under barrels, right? So he gets a tap back to the mound, and they go home with it. Can't turn two. And then lo and behold, you got Ace Reese up there with one out. And Ace does what Ace does. He comes through. Single through the right side, and our first run is on the board. They walk Noah to load the bases. And again, here we go. And then Vitas Valenkas. Tap back to the mound, ends up being a 1-2-3 double play. Right? I mean, how many times do you see that happening? And again, that's a veteran pitcher doing a good job for them. But now it's a tie ball game, 2-2, right? 2-2. All right, top of four, we kind of manufacture some misery for ourselves. We hit the first guy on a 1-2 count, but then it's 1-2-3 from there. Bottom of four, and this is when State began to kind of exert a little authority here. We get on a fielding error, rough play there at third. Pass ball sends him around. Woodson goes down swing, and then Nunley doubles to center. So now you got runners at second and third and less than two outs. You just need a base hit somewhere, and you've got the lead. Well, it's a fielder's choice. Again, back to the pitcher. And he runs the runner back to third, throws the third baseman, and for somehow in some way, the third baseman's leg just kind of slips out from under him. I told Mike Nemeth it's like he decided to throw it left-handed. It was rough. Well, then Chance flies out to left field, just doing a job there. Just doing a job, right? Get the ball in the air, sacrifice fly. It's now a 4-2 ball game in favor of your Bulldogs. Drew Weyers comes through with a single and then advances, but nothing more from that. Top of five. And what needs to happen once you take the lead back? You got to post a goose egg. We do. Again, kind of a frustrating sequence here. We get two quick outs, and then on a 1-1 count, we hit the batter, and he ends up stealing, but we get a strike out of Vinny Davis to get out of it. Bottom of five. Nothing really going on for State here. 1-2-3 there in the inning. We did pinch hit Stallman for Blake Beavis. But top of six, Duke settles in here. 1-2-3 inning. Bottom of six, State's able to add a little insurance run here. They make a bunch of defensive changes. Woodson goes down looking. Didn't even swing the bat that at bat. I'm not a fan of that at all. Nunley then walks, still second. James goes down swinging. It looks like we're not going to be able to get out of this thing. But we hit this ball to the outfield and they lose it in the sun. Sometimes you make your own luck. Run scores, 5-2 ball game, headed to the top of 7. And you wondered, maybe, you know, getting to this bullpen, can we kind of, could we separate this thing and have an abbreviated game? Didn't work out that way. We did bring in Webb. And Maddox Webb's been good for State. And that's, again, one of the things I worried about going into the year was defining those back into the bullpen roles. And we've kind of begun to do that, right? Right? You feel good about Webb. I think you feel good about Davis. You feel good about Sweeney. I think we're going to be able to close up all games. So with two outs, we give up a single to Bolden. And it's just kind of a C&I single thing on a full count. He gets fooled on a pitch, but he's a seasoned hitter and gets just enough on it to put it in play, and there's just no play to be made there. And then we get Cockrell to fly out to center. That's it. Bottom of 7. Two quick ones, and then Teal gets very, very unselfish, professional grade at bat here. Gets down in the count. I guess it's 2-2, and then he just keeps fouling off pitches and fouling off pitches and ultimately earns a walk. Ends up making it to second, but Stallman can't get him in. Top of 8, bring in Ben Davis. And he just comes out there and blows people's doors off. 1-2-3 inning for him. Bottom of 8, State gets some insurance run. I would hate to say it's much needed insurance, but it's good to see State extend in the later innings. Woodson is out at second. Woodson walks and then gets thrown out. And again, give Cockrell some credit, but I think some of our decision making on these, like this ball was in the dirt, but we didn't have a big lead. We didn't get a good jump. We probably should just stay at first. The ball didn't roll far. And Cockrell has shown us all weekend he can throw an accurate ball to second. So Woodson's out stealing. And Nunley pops up to third and think, okay, well, this thing is over. And Sean James comes through with a double and goes to third on a wild pitch. Chance walks. Again, another nice two-out at bat there. And then Fry singles to right center. And that pushes to run in and moves Chance out to third. They make another pitching change. And wild pitch, run scores. It's 7-2. And again, Church is out by now, right? Top of 9. State just needs to get out of this thing without allowing 5 runs. We bring in Parker Rhodes, and it was kind of a wild ride. Parker was so good the other night. A little bit different this go around. Walks a leadoff high. There's a wild pitch. We get a pop up. There's another hit by pitch. And then we give up a single back up the middle, run scores. And we bring in Tyler Pitzer in a 7-3 ball game. And we get a fly out, a walk, and I thought we were getting squeezed a little bit there. And then Burris goes down swinging. That's your ball game. That's your series. Your Bulldogs sweep the series as expected. But I think we learned a little bit about our team this week. And I think we feel great about our Friday and Saturday starts. And I think Sunday's still up for grabs. And I have not lost faith in Charlie. But that's a couple of shaky starts on a weekend. Do we move him to midweek to kind of let him figure it out? Do we move him to the bullpen, kind of let him figure it out? That's not my decision, but you can't trot him out there against UCLA on Sunday. That's just my feeling. Your hitters on Sunday, Sean James ends up being your top hitter. We had 8 hits. Again, that double-digit hit streak gets snapped 5 games. But Sean James, the only Bulldog to have double-digit hits on Sunday. But Charlie Foster, 2 innings pitched, 4 hits, 2 runs, neither of them earned. And again, I said defense has got to play well, but he's got to overcome it when they don't, right? And that's the difference maybe in Thomas Valenkas having a lot more innings under his belt than Charlie does. Charlie will get there. I got no doubt about it. Duke comes in and goes 4 innings of relief, allows 1 hit, 6 strikeouts, no walks, did have those 2 HBPs. Maddox Webb, 1 hit and 1 run, 1 hit in 1 inning of work, 1 strikeout, no walks, no runs. Ben Davis, a near perfect inning for him. And then we know about Parker Rhodes and Tyler Pitzer. But Bulldogs give up 7 hits in the ballgame. 4 of those come in the first 2 innings. So your Bulldog bullpen allows just 3 hits in the final 7 innings of the game. So you feel good about where we are, but there are no perfect teams. Not even the teams ranked ahead of us are perfect teams. And we're going to get a little bit into the rankings a little bit later in the show. But I think it's important to understand everybody's kind of drawing a sense of themselves. And again, people are like, well, we hadn't played anybody. Well, most teams hadn't played anybody at this point, at least not teams of our stature, right? So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, it's a good week in the SEC, other than one team. You know, it's always interesting when teams lose non-conference series because, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, you just feel like those should be rent-a-win type things unless you're playing, like, at Round Rock or Globe Life or something or Frisco. You know what I'm saying? It just seems like when you have a home non-conference series – especially against a non-P4 team, you got to win the series, right? You have to. You have to. But that's your weekend update from Bulldog Baseball. And so, again, Bulldogs now 8-0 for the first time since 2015. That team went 13-0. And if we go 13-0 this year, I think that the end result's going to be much better, right? Especially you find a way to sweep this weekend. You're going to feel really good about life. But again, before we can get there, we got to take care of a pretty stubborn Austin Peay team. But more on that later in the show. It's time for our Close with Blair Player of the Day. That's right. Blair Chandler, my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And since he is your friend, you deserve to have his phone number. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Save it in your phone as Mortgage Guy. That way you'll have a mortgage guy when you need a mortgage guy. You know, I got a lot of people up here, you know. I got the tire guy. I got the flower lady. I got a lot of people in my life that I depend on. You're probably only going to need a mortgage loan originator a couple times in your life, maybe more. I don't know your needs, but I know you can do no better than Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. 25 years of experience in a very difficult industry. He knows how to construct loans to give you the best chance for approval. Be sure and hit him up today, whether you're buying your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo that could be more affordable than you think. You need to restructure some debt, get some cash out. I mean, Blair can help you with all of those things, right? And if you're a new home buyer, get that pre-qualification letter. That's a life hack they don't tell you about. You want to see your real estate agent go into hyperdrive? That's it. They know your financing's been approved. They will get you in a home sooner rather than later. So, the only name to know is Blair Chandler. Your Close with Blair player of the day is Ryan McPherson. And when a guy gets a career-high strikeouts and pitches as well as he did, I think that is an easy decision. There were a couple of runner-ups, you know. You could put Thomas Valenkis. You could put Ace Reese in there every weekend. But I felt like with Ryan kind of setting some new plateaus for himself and really kind of solidifying himself as a very strong weekend guy, that he deserves some notoriety from us. And really like Ryan a lot, not just as a player, but as a person. And you guys would too. If you had the opportunity to spend time with Ryan McPherson and got to know him as a young man, you would be very impressed with him. He is a great ambassador for our program. He defends the M over S. He is an incredible worker and a guy that is very worthy of the accolades that he is receiving. And again, the first Friday, I think he was good. Thought he was great this weekend. That's why Ryan McPherson is your Close with Blair player of the day. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars. .com. That's a Mississippi State owned and operated guitar shop out of Lake Jackson, Texas. Yeah, we don't just do business here in Mississippi. The takeover is real. And Kalido Guitars is vying to be your guitar shop. Owned and operated by Mississippi State folks. It is a family owned and operated business. You can stop by and see their showroom the next time you're in the greater Houston area. If you can't make it out there to see them, we've got a promo code that you can use over the phone, online, or in person. That's BSR, right? They specialize in guitars, but they handle stringed instruments of all varieties. So if you need a banjo or perhaps a ukulele or a violin or a fiddle, I don't know your flavor, they can accommodate you. And they're going to allow you to use that promo code BSR to get a discount off their already low price. I've got several items from them, and I love each and every one of them. I don't get to play as much as I'd want to during baseball season, but that's life, right? But you need to do some things for yourself. You need to reward yourself every now and again. You work hard. You put up with a lot of nonsense. You deserve to have a quality guitar. That promo code, BSR, is going to get you 10% off their already low price. That's going to get you no sales tax unless you live in the great state of Texas. That's going to get you no shipping. And they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund based on your purchase price. That's a lot of savings when you begin to add that up. You get the 10% discount, of course, almost another 10% just off the sales tax, and then, of course, shipping. So when you begin to kind of calculate that, there's just no other way to go than KalitoGuitars.com. All right? Some big things are coming. Some big things are coming. And I got something else I've been working on that maybe not happening right now, but may happen at a later date. I credit my friends for a lot of this. But one of the things that I've learned too is, and you have too, I'm not unique in this pursuit. Not everybody's your friend. There's a lot of people that act like they're your friend, and they're not really your friend. And those people in some respects are worse than enemies, because at least when you know they're enemies, you know not to trust them. But I thought we'd take a look today and we would go through our friends list. I don't know most of my Facebook friends. You know, you just pick up a few people along the way to follow you for Mississippi State content, things of that nature. You know, people want to check in with you and your personal life, and that's okay. Yeah, you know, I don't put anything on social media I wouldn't share anyway, right? It's there for me. It's there for me to communicate with all of you. And the reason I got on Facebook in the first place, years ago, was to make it easier. Rather than email like a series of emails to like grandparents of the kids, it was just easier to post on Facebook so everybody could go see it. And that's how it all started. It gave you a chance to reconnect with high school classmates, and now it's become something much, much bigger. But it is what it is. But here are our friends' top 10. Now, this is not from the TV show Friends. You know, you could make a case for that, you know, because I'll be there for you. The Rembrandts sang that song. Maybe you didn't know that. They had some other hits too, but that's the one that everybody knows. But Friends top 10, and I tried to work in some obscure songs as well as some maybe forgotten favorites, because I wanted to shake it up a little bit for you. We've done something similar to this before. But number 10, off Led Zeppelin 3. And the reviews on this said this was Jimmy Page's last attempt to do psychedelic. And you can hear some of that. It's kind of got a little bit of that Haight Ashbury type tone, the guitar. But of course, it's still got Robert Plant. And Robert Plant's one of those people that could sing the phone book. No matter what the musical accompaniment was, Robert Plant could kill it. And he does on this one, Friends by Led Zeppelin. Number 9, kind of shaking things up a little bit. Adam Ant had some success in the 70s and kind of had a rejuvenation of his career in the late 80s. Remember he had that great song, you know, Room at the Top? It's great. Off that same album, it's Friend or Foe. Friend or Foe. And it's a little bit up-tempo, kind of late 80s synth pop. I think you'll have some fun with that one. Number 8. It's a song that I don't know that I fully appreciated when I was younger. It's the Rolling Stones' Waiting on a Friend. Waiting on a Friend. As somebody just sends me a friend request. I don't know if I'll accept it. We'll see. But, yeah, Waiting on a Friend. I don't know that I was waiting for that friend. But that's just what happens. Number 7. I love this song. And I don't know that it's gotten enough play over the years, to be quite honest with you. I'm a Freddie Mercury guy, as you guys are well aware. That's just, you know, there's not a lot of bad Queen songs in my estimation. I believe that Queen is just one of these bands that really never really had a clunker. You know, there are a few songs out there I like more than others, and there are some timeless classics, but there's a great track that was released as a single for the album A Kind of Magic. So it's a little bit later in the catalog. And of course, you know, things were kind of winding down in the life of Freddie Mercury. But it's Friends Will Be Friends. That's what he talks about. Friends will be friends until the end. And it's almost apropos in that respect. But yeah, Seven Seas of Rise, the B-side there. But there is a couple different versions of that song out there. Number 6, James Taylor and Carole King got together and had a big hit with this song. And it's very, very adult contemporary. but I think a lot of things that James Taylor does has a real authenticity to it. I think he's a great singer-songwriter, but it's You've Got a Friend. Not You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story. Even though that could have been on our list, could have been. But You've Got a Friend's a very poignant song. Number five, I love the song. I love Bring Me the Horizon. And this was a big hit. And I love the fact that the way it opens, right? A little bit of an industrial sound to it. The song is True Friends. Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath if I were you, right? Because true friends stab you in the front. Kind of what we were talking about. You never know. Number four, I love this song because number one, I had a huge crush on Jody Watley. Huge crush on Jody Watley. Her and Downtown Julie Brown both. I mean, they were the same type. But Jody Watley just kind of did it for me. Of course, she started with Shalamar and became a very successful solo artist. And she teamed up with one of my favorite rap duos of all time, Eric B. and Rakim, and had the hit song, Friends. You know, friends, they'll let you down. Friends, you know, will they be around? You know, there's a lot to that one. But it was a big hit. But any time that Eric B. is involved, you can go ahead and count me. Him and Rakim were great, great. Number three, you couldn't do a Friends list, especially one about your good friends, without including the Beatles with a little help from my friends. I've had a lot of help from my friends over the years, and I don't just mean with, you know, sobriety or things of that nature, even though many of my best friends are in recovery. But one of the things I want to share with you, too, about that, one of the things that I think maybe I've made a mistake with in my life, in my recovery, is that I have gone out of my way to try to do business with other people in recovery, because I want to support people in recovery. But the thing that I found is that not everybody is as serious about their recovery as I am. What I mean by that is they may not be drinking or using, but they're still somewhat unreliable, right? And there are a lot of people that have all this self-deprecating type qualities and stuff. And I'll be honest with you, it just gets exhausting. I mean, it really does. It gets exhausting. Yes, you are good enough. Yes, you can do it. But it's just so interesting to me. It's like at some point we have to heal and kind of outgrow all of that pain. And if I want to, I can find anything I want to feel sorry about. I mean, if I want to get down in the dumps, I can. I just choose not to. And some days when I feel it coming on, I go do something for somebody else or, you know, go up to the spot, help Dana or something. I'll do some things that kind of get me out of my own headspace. But there are some people, man, and I've dealt with some people recently like this. It's like they're just kind of stuck. It's like there's been a sense of arrested development when it comes to their emotional maturity, and they just can't move past it. And I'm just not going to do business with people that like to be mediocre. Like if you want to stay where you are, that is perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. If you just want to be okay, you just want to be average, that is your decision. I don't want to be just average. And I'm not going to pair up with mediocre people. I'm not going to pair up with people that are half measured in their efforts. That's just my feeling. You could do what you want to in your life, but I'm going to surround myself with people that are ambitious and people that want to accomplish something, that people feel like they're part of, you know, a team or a cause or, you know, something that's worthwhile. It's exhausting dealing with people that aren't, especially when you're as driven as I am. And I don't say that out of haughtiness or arrogance, if I can get it out. I don't want to be around people like, I grew up in small town Mississippi, and I love where I'm from. I didn't always, but I do. But one of the best things that ever happened was to get out of there. Because I needed to know the world was bigger than a 601 area code. I'm proud to be from South Mississippi, but I'll tell you, man, there is just such a defeatist attitude at times. It's like we're not capable of doing anything of note. And then we go celebrate such incredible measures of mediocrity and act like it's a big deal. It's not. If you want to go do something of real significance, you got to put forth some effort. You got to put some risk involved. You got to get some skin in the game. You got to be willing to crash and burn. I always have been. I suspect I always will be. And so I'm not going to beg anybody to get out of their lane and maybe put it in gear. If you're content to just sit there on cruise control in the right-hand lane, then that's your business. But don't get out there and be critical of me, because I'm going to get out there and speed a little bit in left-hand lane. I'm going to let the top down. I'm going to put the pedal to the floor at times, because I want to go live life and enjoy life. And I hope that you do too. But I can promise you, as I've told my children their entire lives, and I had this discussion with somebody just last night. Somebody, again, was talking about my children and how highly accomplished they are. And I'm very proud of that. But I told them, most of the people you're going to meet in life are just happy to be mediocre. They're just happy to just keep a job. They don't want to do a great job. They just want to keep a job. And that's an advantage to you. Because the more of those people that are around you, the more you're going to shine. Number two, going back to the great classic rap album, Escape, from the great Houdini. And of course, great song. It felt like every song was a single. It was Friends. How many of us have them? Let's be friends before we go any further, right? I love the song. It still holds up to me. And again, that's kind of the infancy of the rap genre. A lot of those MCs is what we called them back then. Maybe didn't have the flow and the skills of some of their disciples. But man, they had such vibe, right? There was just so much soul and spirit in the music. That's why it became an art form. And number one, and maybe you would choose differently, I absolutely love this song. And I have from the very beginning. I remember being in the RIT program, watching them on Soul Train. And I thought, they're going to be huge. And it was TLC. And of course, they're jumping up there singing Ain't Too Proud to Beg. But probably my favorite song on that debut album is Friends. Love it. I think T-Boz and Chili absolutely destroy that song. And of course, Left Out Lopez with a great little rap. And she brings it back a couple times. But a lot of that, too, again, is kind of what we're talking about. You know, what about your friends? You know, there's a lot of people out there, and the thing that I would argue too is if your friends don't want to see you winning, they're not your friends. They're not. They may be your acquaintances, maybe people you like or people you spend time with, but there's a lot of people out there that they want you to do good, but not better than them, right? And I think that's one of the things that I've learned in my near 30 years of doing this. I believe that we do it at a higher level than anybody has ever done, ever. And I don't want it to get 20 years down the road after I'm retired or dead and gone or whatever, and to see the frequency in which Mississippi State and the passion in which Mississippi State is covered is diminished. My hope is that we will inspire a new generation of Mississippi State writers to take this thing farther than we ever have, because Mississippi State deserves it. You deserve it, right? There's more games to cover, right? There's more technology to get it done with. And in some respects, the job is easier than it was back in the 70s and 80s. It's true. But the demand for information has never been greater. And so we have to do our best to meet that demand. And so I share that with you because I believe that we are putting forth a legendary effort. But my hope is that this is a floor rather than a ceiling. You want the people to come behind you to build upon the things you've done. Right, I don't ever want our career or my career to be the zenith in Mississippi State coverage. And maybe at some point, somebody will be better than me. And I hope that's the case. I really do. But I can promise you this, nobody's going to love it more. And I suspect nobody will ever work harder than I do. This is all I do, all day, every day, is write content, go to press conferences. And it's not just we don't just aggregate news, right? Kid sends out a tweet. You go write a story. Well, sometimes you do that. But I want to get the kid on the phone, right? Kid commits, want to get him on the phone. We don't just want to go, you know, write a brief about a game. We want to go ask the coach and the players questions. For you. Not to satisfy our own intellectual curiosity. So we're not in that. A lot of that business going around, a lot of that aggregate news in my industry these days. We believe that you guys deserve to have boots on the ground. And we're going to be there. And my hope is eventually that we can do more road men's basketball. That's the hope, right? As we look, it's never, this is where we are, and this is where we've always done it, so this is where we're always going to. That's just not how I feel. There was a time we didn't do road baseball, unless it was regional time. or SEC tournament time. We just didn't do it. Well, now we do it. We've done it now for, what, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years now to think about it? We're going to just about every road baseball game for 7 years, with a rare exception. And that's become an accepted thing. Now you guys expect us to be there. And now some of our peers are getting out traveling a little bit more too. And you know what? Great. The more coverage there is of Mississippi State, the better it is for Mississippi State. It should be a big deal. When you're getting recruited by Mississippi State and somebody calls you, want to interview you about your visit or your offer, I think those are good things. I think it shows the young man, the young lady that, hey, being recruited by Mississippi State's a big deal. I think when we make the effort to go watch some midweek game at Samford or head to UAB or Memphis, I think, number one, it helps our baseball parents, but it helps all of you. But also, too, I think it illustrates that, hey, Mississippi State covers baseball like nobody else. And so when you go to Mississippi State, it's a big deal because you're going to get media coverage every time you take the field. That's how I feel. I may be wrong. I don't think so. But that's an important aspect of this thing to me. That's your top 10 list, again, brought to you by closewithblair.com. Be sure and check them out. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti, my friend, at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67 on X. And you can find our great list on Spotify. Roy's kind of gotten behind again, but he'll get caught up. He kind of goes through these little, manic depressive type things when it comes to the list. He'll get them all done and we'll rest for a while. You know, I'm not being funny. I'm just being silly. But nevertheless, I appreciate everything Roy does for us. And you can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. Why? Well, because they got the stuff we want, right? It's like Christmas morning every time you go in there. I mean, for those of you who live out of town, I can only understand what a treat it is. It used to be for me, too. We lived out of state. And you come up here, and it's like wall-to-wall maroon and white stuff. I want it all. I live here. I still want it all. And maybe you can afford to go in there and buy it all. But you can get everything you need. Outfit your rig with a new Mississippi State MOVRS flag. You can get some new MOVRS gear, get a cooler, anything you need to make an experience at Duty Noble just a little bit better, you can find at Campus Bookmart. And when it's gift buying time, don't overthink it. Everybody wants to have the home run gift. Let me just give you a nice ground rule double every single time. Get some Mississippi State merch. And occasionally, the wind's going to be blowing just right. You're going to poke that bad boy out of the park and hit a home run, and your gift will be one they remember. Let me push those diploma frames. Graduation's coming up in about 2 months. Be thinking about that too. Stop by and see their smiling faces the next time you're in town. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job of keeping that place outfitted with all the Mississippi State wares that we could possibly want, whether it's merchandise, things you need to detail out your fan cave, your office, whatever. You can find it at Campus Bookmart. And if you can't make it to town, visit them at campusbookmart.net, courtesy of Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net, and use promo code BSR to get free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Okay, we had a tough weekend on the hardwood, and I hate to say it this way, but I'm kind of ready to get this over with. Just because of the fact it's been such a disappointing year. Men are now back under 500, 13-14, 5-9 in the conference. I believe Chris Jans and the staff are doing all they can. They just don't have enough players. It's as simple as that. We just don't have enough pieces. And now some of that's on the staff, right? We didn't do a good enough job in the portal. And we're paying for it. That's the problem, right? When you go out in the portal and you have some bad evaluations, well, you got to go play games with those players. You can't go sign a free agent despite what Alabama's tried to do. And, of course, there's still new developments in that. I'm sick of all that stuff, too. I mean, honest to goodness, it's enough to make you not even want to follow it sometimes. I mean, it's the truth. Every time you turn around, somebody's trying to do something to skirt the rules, to give them a competitive advantage. But Bulldogs will be back in action on Wednesday That's an 8 p.m. tip on ESPNU. We will have full coverage. We will have boots on the ground over in Tuscaloosa. But let's go back and look at this dog of a game from Saturday. And I thought Chris Jan said it best in postgame. I thought we were going to come in here and win. We did too, Chris. We did too. Your Bulldogs dropped to 13-14 overall, 5-9 in the SEC after this 97-89 loss to this terrible South Carolina team. They're now 12-15 overall, 3-11 in the SEC. And, man, it never felt like, you know, they came out and punched us in the face. And then we kind of came back and cut it down. You think, okay, we'll figure it out. We'll find a way in the second half to get over the hump here. Now you come out and you get an early lead, and next thing you know, man, South Carolina just starts laying haymakers, and it's like we just were kind of powerless to stop it. That's just how it felt. It just kind of started getting away from us. I mean, we come out there and make a couple of shots, but next thing you know, we reach the 11-minute mark and we're down. We're down in this ballgame by a couple. And then from there, it's like their crowd, as paltry as it was, kind of willed them along. And next thing you know, man, you look up in this ballgame, and it's like they're an NCAA tournament team, and we're just kind of there to help them play it out. With 6 minutes to go, man, we're down 11. It just drives me crazy, man. It does. Because like all of you, I want us to be successful in every sport. Now, I understand that's asking an awful lot. But give our kids some credit. We fought back, cut it to three. Jaden Epps put a big three right there at the three-minute mark. And it felt like, okay, now we're going to make a run and close the half. But we couldn't get it done. We couldn't. And so we get to the end of the half. The game is still within reach. But at no point did it ever feel like that we were in charge of this thing or that we were about to exert any type of control. State's down 46-39 at the break. Second half, we basically trade baskets. They get us 51-50. We lose 97-89. Not great. Quincy Ballard, perhaps his best game as a Bulldog. 15 points, 10 rebounds. He did his part. 50% free throw shooter. We could do a little better there. But Hub just wasn't on. And everybody knows if you stop Josh Hubbard, you're stopping Mississippi State. Josh, 4 of 20 from the field, 2 of 12 from three-point land. Did not get to the line very often. A lot of that's because we settled for jump shots, trying to make some things happen. But just 13 points for Josh. Jaden Epps matches him with 13 on half as many shots and only played 13 minutes. And Epps got hurt and doesn't appear to be anything that's going to linger. There's not much time left in the regular season anyway. Achor plays 20 minutes, 9 points, 7 rebounds for him. Sean Jones, 6 and 5. Jabari McGee gave us some good minutes off the bench, 28 minutes, kind of trying to pick up a little bit for Epps and pitched in a dozen. And then Makara with 10 and pulled down 5 boards. I like him. I think it's pretty safe to say we've got something there. Bulldogs shoot 45% from the field and just over 30% from beyond the arc. Not great at the free throw line. We get there 30 free throw attempts and just make 17. You're going to lose when you're shooting 57% at the free throw line. And we did a good job getting to the line in the second half. We just didn't convert. 13 of 22. And again, you begin to think about that. I mean, if you shoot 75, this might be a different ball game. I mean, you lose this game by 8. It all matters, and free throw shooting has not necessarily been a strength of Chris Jan's teams here at Mississippi State. South Carolina shoots 55% from the floor, 50% from beyond the arc, and then they made their free throws. They're 23 of 27. And at the end of the day, that proves to be the difference in the ballgame. So the Bulldogs lose this one, and as we decided some time ago, this is going to be a season that we endure more so than enjoy. Bulldogs back at Humphrey Coliseum against Missouri on Saturday, February 28th. Closing out the month there, and we'll have 2 games in March in the regular season and then at least 1 in the SEC tournament. But we got to go to Florida. We got Georgia coming in. And so you got to find a way to win, get a split down the stretch here. I don't give us any hope of winning at Alabama or Florida. You got to beat Missouri and Georgia. And so you're gonna end the regular season with a losing record, barring some miracle. And probably 7-11 in conference play. And that's just not good enough. That's just simply not good enough. And if that holds the way we hope, we'll be 10-6 at home and 4-6 in true road games. That's just not good enough. It's not. But as I've said many times this year, if anybody on this campus has earned a mulligan so far, it's Chris Jantz. And we need to give him an opportunity to fix it. I do believe Chris Jantz is a great coach. I think we have done some poor evaluation in the portal, as you guys see as well. I'm not breaking any news here. We just don't have the players. On the women's side, and again, I see the Facebook people coming out again, wanting a coaching change on the women's side. Let me tell you, there's a 0% chance that we're going to fire Sam Purcell, or Chris Jantz for that matter, nor should we. Texas is a lot better than us, but to lose by 50 in this league is embarrassing. It is. It's embarrassing. And again, you know, we had the opportunity, of course, after putting together a little modest win streak, knocking off Georgia and Arkansas. We needed to get that Florida win, knowing that we had Texas and LSU to go. And then our final winnable game is on the road at A&M. But, not a lot to talk about when it comes to this Texas game. We just scored 8 points in the first quarter. When you score 8 in the first quarter, it's going to be a tough game. And we're chasing the game the rest of the game. We're down 16 after 1. And guess what? We're down 32 at the break because they outscore us 26-10 in the second quarter. When you score 18 points in the first half, you're not going to win the game unless they decide to play with four. And then they beat us 25-13 in the third quarter. I mean, it was just a matter of what the final score was going to be. There was no doubt who was going to win. It was going to be an impressive victory for Texas. Mississippi State does not have a single score in double digits. Favor Nwadozie with 9 points and 4 rebounds, the closest we had to it. And then Saniah King off the bench played 26 minutes and scored 7 points. But we had a lot of people, you know, get into the scoring book. We didn't have anybody have a good game. Give them a lot of credit for that. But Madison Francis got banged up a little bit in the ball game. Just 9 minutes of action for her and 4 points. And she's one of those players that makes us go. But State shoot 38%. From the floor, 14% from beyond the arc, and we only attempted 7 3-point baskets. You'd think, trailing as much as we did, we'd shoot more. But one made three in the entire ball game. You're not going to win with one made three. It's not going to happen. And we didn't get to the line, 9 of 14. We just simply could not handle the basketball. We turned it over way too much. Way too much. 28 turnovers in this game. 28. That's rough, man. It is. And, of course, Texas cashed in on a lot of those, 39 points off turnovers and then 40 off the bench. A deeper team, a more athletic team, and it just really wasn't much of a game. Simply put, now on Thursday, and we'll talk about this on Wednesday show, we're going to head, I guess we'll talk about it on Thursday show, but we're going to head to College Station, Texas, and hopefully can get a dub there. And then we got LSU coming in to close out the regular season slate on March 1st, which is Sunday. So as we talk about all the time, we look forward to these seasons, but man, they go by in a blink of an eye. They really do. It doesn't take any time for these things to be over with. And it seems like when you're losing, they go by even quicker because you withdraw a lot of your emotional investment. You're like, oh, we're playing. I don't know if I'm going to watch. We're probably going to lose. I'm not going to watch. When we're winning, it becomes must-see TV, right? I mean, how many times when, you know, during the great era with Tierra McCowan and Victoria Vivians, it became must-watch TV. And you had to find a way to get to Starkville and bring the kids up here and get their picture made and things like that. You felt so close to the team. You felt invested in the team because they were invested in you being there. They appreciated you being there. How many times did you see it? Our players going up into the stands, thank you all for going to road games, right? I mean, when's the last time that you thought about it, right? I mean, when things were going great, we'd have a bus trip to Tuscaloosa or a bus trip to Auburn or a bus trip to Ole Miss, and people were getting those things together. And Bulldog fans would go together and take over other schools' arenas. And you could hear our fans out there. We just don't have the same level of investment anymore because the team just didn't perform at the level that we hope. And again, that's not to say Sam and those guys are doing a bad job. I think this is one of the better coaching jobs that he's done, but we've lost too many of these toss-up games. We expected to get beat by Texas. My feelings aren't hurt because we got beat by Texas. Texas may win a national championship. But the reality of it is that we've got to take some steps to be better at women's basketball. And those of you that are, you know, true Maroon women's basketball fans, we still have a lot of those folks that turn out for the first tip events and things of that nature, and I think that's a wonderful thing. But it's a far cry from what it used to be, but it's better than what it was before Sam took over, right? That transition right there with Nikki McCray Pinson, and you know, God rest her soul, we were in a bad spot. We were. And so was she. And it's just one of those things, man, you just kind of wonder, you know, how much of all of that, you know, with her health issues became part of a problem for everybody, right? And it's nobody's fault. It's just the way things happen in life. But I don't know if they'll ever be as good as they once were, but they're better than what they've been historically up until that Vic Schaefer era. Of course, we had some great years with Tan White and LaToya Thomas under Coach Fanning, who still is a huge figure at Mississippi State women's basketball functions. And we love her. We do. But we need to find a way to win this game at College Station, Texas. No offense buts about that. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, when you're bringing a larger group to town, and you should. You've seen it in movies, documentaries, and think, man, wouldn't that be great to get everybody together under one roof and just make some memories together? And again, it's the in-between moments that mean so much. It's not just going to dinner or going to a ball game. It's just kind of sitting around being a family or being a friend group. We had a great time when we stayed there, and I would encourage you to make those memories with the people you love the most too. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can check out all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, full-service kitchen, the wet bar, that great back porch area, the fire pit area, and plenty of parking. An underrated amenity, because when you've got all these people coming, you don't even think about, where's everybody going to park? No worries when you're the party staying at Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Plenty of places to park. It's the old renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands, just 5 minutes from the Mississippi State campus. So if you're coming for a ball game, it's so incredibly convenient. And then you can be right back to visiting, recreating, talking about the ball game, watching some other ball games, you know, maybe having an adult beverage. Maybe you put some red beans and rice on and you enjoy that as a after ball game meal. I love red beans and rice. I do. Then you go out there and you fire up the fire pit. You just sit outside there and kick back a cold one and just enjoy visiting with the people you love the most. I'll be sure and check it out today, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none. All right, before we get into our Austin Peay preview, let's look back at the SEC baseball weekend that was. For some reason, like I didn't do my research, I thought that South Carolina may have Army the whole weekend. They didn't. They had a bunch of the armed services there. So let's take a look at the weekend results. Pretty good weekend for the SEC, even though the level of competition wasn't exactly stellar. And it's not just us, okay? Some people live in the big maroon bubble and don't realize that everybody kind of schedules in a similar manner. But Alabama sweeps Rhode Island. Arkansas sweeps Xavier. Auburn, big weekend for them. We talked about this was kind of a judgment weekend for them, Judgment Day weekend. Auburn wins the whole shoot match out there, man. They beat Kansas State, they beat Florida State, and they beat Louisville. And I'm beginning to wonder if Louisville was overrated beginning of the year. They got hot late last year, won their way to Omaha, and again, it shows what a great coaching job that Dan McDonald's done there. But Auburn had to have a great weekend. They had a great weekend, and offensively, some things began to happen for them. And the first base battle is kind of up for grabs. They've had some injuries, and so they're able to kind of mix and match, and that has kind of been a catalyst for them offensively. Florida sweeps Kennesaw State. Georgia sweeps Samford. No surprise there. Kentucky gets 2 out of 3 against Evansville. And that's at Evansville, right? So that's a road series win at a top 100 RPI team. And, of course, you get the benefit of playing on the road. So that's going to be an RPI climber for Kentucky. LSU gets Indiana, Notre Dame, and Central Florida. They sweep that in their little tournament. Of course, Mississippi State gets all three against Delaware Blue Hens. And I think Hofstra will help us a little bit in the RPI because I think Hofstra will really challenge for the CAA. Delaware, of course, is in Conference USA. They were picked like 11 of 12. And after watching them in person, they just don't have much going on offensively. They ran out a couple of bullpen arms that I thought were pretty good, but I just don't think that team's going to score enough to help us. Missouri plays New Haven on the road, probably a top 300 RPI team, and Missouri gets all three. And so, hey, good for Kerrick Jackson for getting some wins and trying to get some confidence under the belts of those players. And, of course, Oklahoma, probably one of the biggest surprises of the early season in the Southeastern Conference. As expected, they sweep Coppin State. Ole Miss gets Missouri State. And, guys, that's a solid mid-major series win. Missouri State is one of those teams that just kind of hangs around. And in their league, they're going to be good. So that's like, I mean, it's not, listen, you expect Ole Miss to win that. But it's going to, I think, be a better series win in hindsight than maybe it feels right now. And some of those games are competitive. Don't get me wrong. But I think you're going to look back and say, you know what? That may have worked out. South Carolina, of course, loses to Army, and then they bounce back to beat Navy and Air Force. I think South Carolina is going to play the Salvation Army in the midweek game this week. Again, Maneri trying to get some wins. And again, I think South Carolina is in a good spot too because I fully expect them to make a coaching change at the end of the year. I don't know how many SEC openings there are going to be. You know what I'm saying? I think you feel like right now they may be the only one unless Kevin O'Sullivan decides to take a step away. I don't think that's going to happen. Missouri might move on from Kerrick Jackson. I don't know how much they care about baseball, but let's be honest, South Carolina and Missouri are not going to be competing for the same coach. So I think South Carolina, even though I don't think it's a great job anymore, because I think revenue sharing – it's kind of like it is in Tennessee, but probably worse because they're not going to take away from women's basketball, a sport that they're competing for national championships on an annual basis in, to give to baseball when the golf clap crowd only shows up when they play, you know, Tennessee or something. Speaking of the Vols, they drop the series at home to Kent State, the Golden Flashes. Now, the Golden Flashes may win the MAC. They also played a midweek game against LSU last week that was very competitive. And let's be honest about this. Tennessee had to walk the Flashes off on Friday. So Kent State's a pitch away from sweeping Tennessee. Now, this Tennessee team, as I said from the beginning, they're going to have some talent, but I felt they were overvalued. You don't lose Tony Vitello and Frank Anderson and what they lost from a player standpoint and maintain the trajectory. There is going to be an adjustment for any program that loses a coach of that magnitude, and he takes one of the best pitching coaches in college baseball with him, right? So you expected a step back. I don't think anybody expected this, though. That's not great. And some people out there on Tennessee Twitter have kind of lost the plot when it comes to this stuff. And I say this with as much respect as I can muster. Tennessee is new money. New money spends quickly, right? And when you're not in a situation rev share wise where you're going to be able to compete with Arkansas and Mississippi State and LSU and others, you're going to drop like an anchor. Texas A&M competitive games out there. They had to walk it off twice in College Station on Friday and Saturday to beat Penn, who may prove to be maybe the best coach team in their league. We'll see how that plays out. And then Vanderbilt beats the Red Foxes of Marist 3-0, as expected. So, again, outside of Tennessee getting upset, it kind of went to script. It's my mistake. I thought Army was going to play the full 3 games. I think if Army had played South Carolina all 3 games, they'd probably take that series. But let's look ahead to midweek baseball, and then we'll get into our Austin Peay preview in the final minutes we have together here. But there's just, you know, there's a lot going on these days, and there's a lot to get excited about. And I know many of you are just out on baseball. I mean, in basketball, you're out, especially on the men's side. You're just like, you know what, Steve, if it's on, I'll watch it. Yeah, I just don't know what's going to happen. You know, I get it. I understand it. Nobody should make you feel guilty about that. You made a big investment emotionally into Mississippi State men's basketball, just like I did, hoping they would get back to another NCAA tournament for a fourth consecutive year, which would match a school record. Didn't work out that way. All right, looking ahead to Tuesday, and we'll look at the Wednesday stuff on Tuesday. Bellarmine will visit Tennessee. Arkansas Pine Bluff will visit Missouri. So again, Missouri a chance to kind of stack up some dubs here. Arkansas State will be at Arkansas. That may prove to be interesting. You know, Arkansas State nearly beat Ole Miss last week. And, you know, Tommy Raffo's not there. But the Red Wolves always kind of get up to play Ole Miss for one reason or another. And you know they're going to be jacked to go play Arkansas. And Arkansas offensively has just been okay. They've had some moments, but they're pitching it well. I just don't know what midweek pitching looks like at Arkansas yet. SEMO will be at Ole Miss, who dropped, I guess they're 25 in the polls. I think that's correct. And of course, Austin Peay will play at Mississippi State. Arizona State is going to be at Oklahoma. They're going to play a pair of midweek games as Arizona State makes their way to Globe Life. We'll see them on Friday. We hope to have some comments from Coach Bloomquist before we get there. We're working on that. Evansville will be at Vanderbilt. Purple Ace. I'd love to see the Purple Aces win this thing. When those guys came down here a couple years ago, and of course, they nearly made it to Omaha that year. And those guys were so great. Like, talking to them after the game over there by the bus, they were so jacked to come in here and play at Duty Noble Field. And like you say, man, wish you guys luck the best of the way. And the next thing you know, you look up and they've won a regional. You're like, you kidding me? That's great. FIU will be in Florida. That's going to be an evening game. Alabama and Southern Miss. That's probably the marquee game, right, of the midweek. Southern Miss playing exceptionally well. The Golden Eagles up to 12 in the polls now. And so, you know, we'll see them next week down in Hattiesburg. And Alabama, again, they've had some midweek games against Southern Miss. Southern Miss understands how important these games are. Southern Miss wants to host. And so in order to host, not only do they have to hold serve in league, they got to pick off some of these SEC teams in the midweek. And they typically play Alabama State and Ole Miss. So they're going to bring their best effort. That should be an interesting one. After you get home and the Bulldogs hopefully take care of Austin Peay, you can turn on the ESPN Plus and check out Alabama and Southern Miss. Do your own advanced scouting for next week. Lamar will be at Texas A&M. McNeese State, the Cowboys from Lake Chalk will head over to Baton Rouge and play OSU. And then UT Rio Grande Valley against Texas. Let's jump into Austin Peay here in the final moments we have together. Again, spoke to Coach Fanning earlier today, and you talk about a guy that's really jacked. He is absolutely shot out of a cannon. Loves talking about his team, loves talking about their system. Of course, he comes in after being a recruiting coordinator at Kentucky and then being an off-the-field staff at Oklahoma State, takes over there in Clarksville, and then like they put 27 transfer guys together that first year and came in here and beat us. You know, they were a team, too, that was doing some big things offensively. It's kind of a scratch and dent thing. And what I mean by that is they want to go get guys that maybe have power four ability but hadn't had power four opportunities. And so they get guys that kind of have an edge and a chip on their shoulder. And so kind of looking back here, year one in 23, they went 26-32 and 500 in the Atlantic Sun. And then in 24, the year they came in here, they went 35-21 overall, 20-10 in their conference. They beat us, and then they won the regular season championship and got upset in the tournament and didn't get to go to the tournament. And if you remember, it got a little bit dramatic there at the end. 2025, the best year they've had in a long time. 45-14 overall, but 26-4 in the Atlantic Sun. And again, they get upset in the Atlantic Sun tournament. So this is an ascending mid-major program. And anybody that just thinks that we're going to be able to show up tomorrow night and win this ball game, you're kidding yourself. And I'm going to get a little detailed in that as we get through our preview here. He tells me that they didn't get on the field for like the last 15 days of preseason practice because of the ice. They weren't ready to play. They dropped the first two games at UNLV 7-3 and 9-8. They bounced back in game three. It was a four-game series out there in Vegas. They win 5-3, and then they earn a split 13-12 on Sunday. So they played a Friday and then a Saturday doubleheader and then played on Sunday. So four games. Didn't play a midweek game. Matter of fact, the first midweek game of the year will be against us Tuesday night. This past weekend, they dropped the Friday game to Eastern Michigan, who we beat back in 2021, the Fighting Scott Weatherbys. They win 8-7 and 11 on Saturday and then come out Sunday and win 6-1. Now, here's the thing that I think you guys can find interesting. I think it's about six guys on this roster that are true high school recruits. Everybody else is junior college or portal guys. So just kind of run this thing down, and I think they've got six all-conference players, including Kyle Proctor, who came in from Oklahoma State, Trevor Connolly, the catcher, Texas Tech, Andres Matias, transfers in from Connor State. He has been the shortstop and done a really good job. Zion Taylor is a guy that everybody in the SEC wanted last year. He didn't have enough credits, so he ends up going NAI at University of Mobile and then goes back in the portal and lands at Austin Peay. This is an SEC talent. It is. The starting center fielder is Paris Pridgeden, a local guy that walked on, made the team, and is now leading them in offensive statistical categories. Ray Velasquez, Vanderbilt. Transferred in from Vanderbilt. Yeah. Elijah Underhill is a pitcher from Eastern Kentucky. You start running through this. Riker Walton, Alta from Eastern Kentucky. Derek Mitchell, a guy that was considered a top 10 type prospect out of Plano, Texas, signed with LSU, got flushed out, lands at Austin Peay. And so I run these things down for you. And here's another one, Ty Wisdom, a guy that's playing out right field from Kansas. And you know how good they were. Caleb Appleby, their Sunday starter, also from LSU. Chance Cox, who's going to pitch against us Tuesday night, transferred in from Houston. When he was at Cowley County Community College out in Kansas, he was an All-American. Cole Johnson, Oklahoma State guy. And so I just run this down because this is not going to be the typical mid-major team. They have built a program out of these scratch-and-dent type players, as he says, that maybe just didn't get loved on enough. And maybe that's true. He's a lot of fun to talk to, Coach Fanning is. I mentioned Paris Pridgeden. He's hitting 409 right now. Now, they've only hit two home runs as a team. And you got to feel like the ball probably traveled a little bit down at UNLV. Maybe not so much, you know, against Eastern Michigan. But they only got two tanks, but they've only given up nine. So there's some guys that maybe not keeping the ball down. But it's just interesting. As you look at these numbers here, they've played basically 10 position guys, basically. And he said he hadn't fully settled in the lineup. He's got some young guys that they need to play, but they're just trying to get it going because they didn't have an opportunity to do a whole lot. But only three players hitting 300+, and that's Pridgeden. We talked about the center fielder. Matias, the shortstop, hitting 375, actually tied for the team lead with nine hits. And then Zion Taylor, who we just talked about, hitting 333, playing left for them. Started all seven games. But the bulk of these guys have played and started just about every game. TJ Costello has played a little bit at times. Trevor Connolly did miss a game. Proctor's missed a game. Keaton Cottoms missed a game. But not a lot of power and not a lot of offense so far. But they will run the bases a little bit, but it's kind of limited to Paris Pridgeden a little bit. Right? He's 7 of 8. They got 14 or 17 stolen bases. He has half of those thefts. So you got to keep him off the base paths. And he is a guy that's willing to take a walk. He's got 7 walks. So he's about a stolen base and a walk per game. So basically you're giving him a double, right? He's only grounded into one double play. And he's a guy that Coach Fanning says may be the best defensive outfielder he's ever coached at any level, at any team, in any conference. Look a bit deeper, and we'll have a full preview in the morning of Chance Cox. He's had one appearance this year, and it was a start, and he went 4 1/3 innings, allowing 5 runs on 3 hits, all 5 of those earned, struck out 6, walked 2, faced just 15 hitters, batting average against of 200. He also hit a couple, ERA of 10.38. So he hadn't played his best, but he hadn't pitched since the UNLV series. So he is probably going to be their midweek pitcher of choice. Remember, that was a 4-game series out in Vegas. So I've got the analytics, and again, we'll write a full preview. So if you want more information on him, you can log on to jeanspage.com in the morning, and you can read that. And Mississippi State going to go out there and counter with William Kirk. Of course, was in line to be the Sunday starter last year at Virginia before he got hurt. Kirk has made 2 relief appearances for State, working 4 innings. He's allowed 6 hits and 3 runs. All 3 of those runs are earned. 4 strikeouts, no walks. And again, we've got options, right? And a lot of people wonder, what does Sunday look like long term? Well, you've got a lot of people competing for that spot. Of course, that's Stone and Kirk both competing along with Charlie Foster. You know, it's not like anybody's giving up on Charlie, but we got to figure this thing out. But William Kirk didn't see any action last year, obviously, as he kind of rehabbed. It was an ACL. But his first outing was the better of the two. He goes 2 innings against Hofstra, allows 1 hit, 1 strikeouts, no runs, and a 7-5 win. Against Troy last week, it was a little bit different. He got hit a little bit. 2 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 runs, 3 strikeouts, no walks. So he's not walking people, but, you know, left some balls up and got hurt for it. We still won the ball game, obviously. But it'll be interesting to see what these two look like and how deep we get into the bullpen. It helps State that we've already got our 5-game week behind us, which, again, kind of lends us to look ahead a little bit. But it's Arizona State thing, right? They have to play 5 games this week. And they're going to play Tuesday, Wednesday, and then play us on Friday. Now, that's not going to change their starting rotation, but it could change some things in the bullpen, especially if these midweek games against Oklahoma get a little bit interesting. Arizona State's undefeated, and we'll talk about them in depth on Wednesday. But when you start thinking about the RPI climbing opportunity for them, again, midweek games at Norman against Oklahoma, and we want those games to be competitive, right? We want them to go to full 9, and if they could find a way to go 25 innings, that'd be great too. But, you know, you want them to burn some arms just because of the fact we hope that we can work counts and get into their bullpen. And maybe this kind of changes how they pitch a little bit. But if you're Arizona State and this is it, it's a 5-game week, and you're playing 5 SEC games. That's an interesting schedule, right? That's a very, very, very bold schedule for them. So hopefully that plays in our favor. And again, we'll talk more about that on Wednesday and Thursday before we get ready to head to Arlington ourselves. If you haven't done so, visit DutyNobleBook.com. You get signed copies of all my sports titles. That includes The Dude, obviously. Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, and the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls, which is still the book that I get the most emails and social media messages about. Got one again over the weekend. And I appreciate those more than I could ever say. And had some people stop me this weekend that had read the book and thanked me for writing it. And let me tell you, it was very important for me. It was very healing for me to write that book too. As I tell people, this is kind of me naked in front of the world trying to help other people, right? And that's kind of an odd way to phrase it, but that's how it is. And I was very vulnerable and put it out there, and maybe you could benefit from reading that too. Again, that's When the Bottom Falls. Join us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. It's been an incredible, basically since November, it has been jam-packed. And I think she floated right at 80 again this weekend. That's between Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that's with us closing early on Friday, on Sunday. Like we had to go spend a little time together Valentine's Sunday night, and then last night we had a dinner event to go to. And so we didn't even have the 830 spots and still floated right at 80 back-to-back weekends. And so it's working for a lot of people. It may work for you too. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you have about floating. You can book online, but understand the very first time you float, you have to be there 30 minutes early. And it's in the email, and Dana will tell you, because there's just some things you got to do. If you show up late for your float, there's no guarantee we can let you float because everybody behind you is stacked on that schedule. And so if you are scheduled to float at, let's say, 10 o'clock in the morning, you're supposed to be there at 9:30, and you get there at 10:15, then everybody behind you has got to start at least 15 minutes late, and that's not fair to them. So we have had to turn some people away and reschedule them. It's not trying to be difficult, but we have to maintain a good schedule. So I encourage you, call her with any questions, and come join us over at jeanspage.com. You'll be glad you did. The best Mississippi State coverage in the history of the university. And again, some big things coming this year and next, for sure. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.